Welcome to worship on this Palm Sunday morning. I have a lot of announcements to share with you this morning, so I numbered them. I think there are five of them, and please bear with me as I share them. The first is to remind you that there are palm branches on the back table that you can pick up before you leave worship this morning. I also believe in the back is the sign-up sheet for Easter lilies. Today is the final day to put in an order for Easter lilies. If we don't have them by the time you leave today, you won't get them because we have to place our order tomorrow, I believe. Second announcement, in your bulletins and in the pews, you'll see the envelopes for the one great hour of sharing. This, if you would like to make a donation to the one great hour of sharing, you can just put it in the offering envelope. If you put your donation in this envelope, we'll know it's for one great hour of sharing. But if not, if you could specify that the donation needs to go towards one great hour of sharing, that will help us out. So please do that. Third announcement is our Holy Week worship schedule. So we will be having our Maundy Thursday worship service here in the sanctuary at 8 p.m. on Thursday. We will be having our Easter breakfast / Easter egg hunt at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
At 10 a.m. on Saturday. Is that in McNocker?
Sunday.
You knew. Yes, Easter. Yes. And it's in McFadden Hall. And then after the breakfast / Easter egg hunt, we will gather in here at 11:15 for our Easter worship service. The Sunday after Easter, so April 28th, we are going to be having Lay Sunday to give me a little bit of a break, which I'm so appreciative for. So I will be here in worship with you on the 28th, but I will not be preaching. I'm going to sit in the pew. I'm going to sit in the pews with my coffee mug and listen to a wonderful service. So don't be alarmed. That's what our plan is for the 28th. Final announcement is to remind the deacons that we are going to be meeting this Sunday, today, after worship, instead of next Sunday, which is the third Sunday, because I love you all, but I'm leaving here immediately following the Easter service, not to stay for a meeting. All right, does anyone else have any announcements for this week that I forgot? Sandy. Yes. Yes. Thank you. I did forget that. So Friday, Good Friday, the sanctuary is going to be open from 12 to 3. The deacons will be sponsoring that time if you would like to come in and pray and meditate during that time. All right. Let us begin our worship service with our call to worship. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he. Humble and riding on a donkey. On a colt, the goal of a donkey. Let us rise and join together in our opening hymn, number 197, Hosanna, loud Hosanna.
Thank you.
with me in our prayer of confession. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Set us free from a past that we cannot change. Open to us a future in which we can be changed, and grant us grace to grow more and more in your likeness and image, through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Let us say together the words of assurance. Hear the good news. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might be dead to sin and alive to all that is good. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Confess together the words of what we believe with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Having been reconciled to God in Jesus, let us show signs of that reconciliation with one another by greeting one another in faith.
So one of the things I forgot to mention in the list of announcements this morning is that we are actually welcoming two members this morning. Yay! Makes for a lovely, beautiful sound on Sunday morning. So we are going to do a brief kind of way of welcoming them and commissioning them. So the way that this is going to work is I'm going to pray, and then Madam Clerk is going to introduce them on behalf of the session. I have three questions for you that I will prompt you on how to answer, and then we're going to pray for them. All right? Let us pray. Sisters and brothers in Christ, our baptism is the sign and seal of cleansing from sin and of our being grafted into Christ. Through the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Christ, the power of sin was broken and God's kingdom entered our world. Through our baptism, we were made citizens of God's kingdom and freed from the bondage of sin. Let us celebrate this freedom and redemption through the renewal of our promises made in baptism. This we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
This morning, on behalf of the session, I'm happy to present Janet and Roy Weckerly as new members at Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church.
Excellent. Great. Right, this time, can you stand and face the congregation? Great. I have three questions for you, and then at the end of the question, I will prompt you for how to respond to it. All right. Trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world? If so, please say, I do. Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Lord and Savior, trusting in his grace and love? If so, please say, I do. Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love? If so, please say, I will, with God's help.
I will, with God's help.
Yes, amen. All right, so now comes my favorite part in the service, where we're going to pray for them. I'm going to have you guys stay standing, and I'm going to be praying on behalf of the congregation, so you guys don't have to move, but imagine that you were praying this prayer with me. All right, let us pray. O Lord, uphold Janet and Roy by your Holy Spirit. Daily increase their gifts of grace, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. Welcome. Congratulations.
We'll give them a moment to get back into the loft, and then we will hear our choir's anthem. A few prayer and praise requests this morning. The first one, Clara has let us know that the contractor that will be doing the bell tower requested prayers for his wife, who was involved in a bike accident in Washington, D.C. Also, we have a prayer request from Kathy Sagi. It looks like it's a cousin of hers, Celine DeMont, I believe. They had put her in hospice because of a wound that got infected, and she went septic. Her husband just passed away a month ago. Prayers that the Lord will either heal her or provides peace and comfort if he comes to take her home. And also from Kathy for a prayer for a friend of hers who found out the seizure she is having is due to a brain tumor. Prayers for her for healing. She needs to have surgery to have it removed. Then also we have a praise request from John and Carol Kane, their 14-year-old granddaughter, Skylar, who has been studying with the Pittsburgh Ballet Theater for 10-plus years, has been asked to dance in the professional company's Sleeping Beauty at the Benenham Center in March. We are grateful that her work and dedication to the ballet are being recognized.
I have one additional prayer request to add. So one of my elders at Mount Nebo, his name is Ed, he fell and probably broke his ankle this morning. Ed is kind of my Carol at the other church, so we had a like mild panic this morning because no one knew how to count the offering or turn the lights on or put the oil in the candle holders. So please pray for Ed, number one, that he heals from this injury, but also pray for my remaining elders that they don't have a panic attack during Holy Week as we try to equally divide his responsibilities this week. He also changes our sign, so we had a 15-minute conversation this morning about who's going to change the sign in the mud and in the rain. So please pray for Ed and pray for my elders at Mount Nebo. All right, at this time I invite you to rise and join with me for our hymn of meditation, He is Exalted. The lyrics will be on the screen. Be seated. Let us pray. Eternal God, at the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Grant that all who are baptized into his name may keep the covenant they have made. By the mercy of Christ our Lord, let us pray for our concerns. Lord, we pray that you would tend to the sick and bring them healing. We pray for Ed, for our contractor's wife, for Celine, and for Kathy's friend. Lord, we pray for our world. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done. Lord, I lift up to you our two churches as we prepare for Holy Week. I pray that you would send your Holy Spirit to be with us in our special worship services, in our times of fellowship, and our moments set aside for worship. I pray that you would be with our key leaders as they adjust to different worship times, as they set up for different things, clean up, and buy supplies. Finally, Lord, we present our joys to you with gratitude. We thank you that Skylar's hard work has paid off and that she is going to be able to dance in the production of Sleeping Beauty this spring. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. Lord God of the nations, you have revealed your will to all people and promised us your saving help. May we hear and do what you command, that the darkness may be overcome by the power of your light. This we ask through Christ our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
Not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, let us continue to worship God by presenting our offering. Father, we thank you that you continue to bless us abundantly. We pray that we would use these gifts to the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning. The scripture today is from Luke 19, 28 through 40. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethany at the place called Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, Why are you untying it? Just say this, The Lord needs it. So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, Why are you untying the colt? They said, The Lord needs it. Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, Teacher, order your disciples to stop. He answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out. This is the reading of God's word.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
One of the questions we've been reflecting on this Lent is this question of why do we kill prophets? Remember, 6 weeks ago, we began Lent with the story of Jesus preaching at his hometown. Jesus challenged his hometown to prepare themselves for the kingdom of God. And what did this hometown crowd do? They tried to throw him off a cliff. Today, we are nearing the end of Jesus' story here on earth. Jesus' entry into Jerusalem is the turning point between his life and ministry and his death and resurrection. In Luke's version of the narrative, on Palm Sunday, we are to transition from understanding Jesus as a prophet to understanding Jesus as God. Up until this point, Jesus largely proclaimed the word of God. But on Palm Sunday, we realize that Jesus is God, the word made flesh. The crowd praises Jesus as he enters into Jerusalem because they have seen with their own eyes his prophecies come true. The disciples did find a colt where Jesus predicted they would. The owner of the colt asks the disciples, "Hey, what are you doing with my colt?" The disciples did tell him, "The Lord needs it." Because Jesus' predictions come true, the crowd goes, "Oh, this must be God." Remember, the Israelites have been waiting for a Messiah for a very long time at this point. All of the signs point to Jesus being this Messiah. The crowd responds to who they think is the Messiah with joy and praise. One of the questions we must wrestle with this and every Palm Sunday is why the crowds that rejoice at Jesus on Sunday are calling for his death by Friday. Or why do the crowds turn on Jesus so quickly? I think the crowds reject the peace that Jesus offers because they know that they are going to have to change in order to receive it. Let me give you an example of what I mean by this. How many of you have ever seen the show My 600-Pound Life? It's a reality show on TLC. Anyone? Anyone? It's okay if you have or you haven't. So this is a show that follows around men and women who are considered morbidly obese. So the contestants range in weight from 450 to 650 pounds. And they come on the show because their doctors have told them that they are going to die if they don't lose a significant amount of weight. The episodes begin with participants swearing up and down that they are ready to make a change, to change their diet, to even start exercising. They meet with a doctor and a nutritionist who specialize in helping people change their diets. They come up with an eating plan. A week later, during their first weigh-in, the contestants lose 30, 40, even 50 pounds. But usually midway through the second week, something happens to the contestants. And this thing causes them to lose focus. They have a fight with their spouse. Their kid starts acting out in school. They lose a friend who they realize only liked them because they were big. That's when the contestants start making midnight runs to McDonald's. And they aren't just eating a burger and fries. They're eating 5 Big Macs, 3 orders of fries, and they're washing it down with 3 large pops. They return for their second weigh-in, and they have gained back all of the weight they've lost, and then some. Now, in every episode I've watched, at this point, the doctor always asks them, "How did you gain weight if you followed the eating plan?" The contestants shrug their shoulders. "I just don't know, man. I thought I followed the eating plan." Some of them even say things like, "I just must be a terrible person. That's why I can't lose weight. Even though I want to throw the remote at the television at this point, because it's incredibly obvious to me and to the doctor that the reason they've gained weight is because of the midnight McDonald's runs." Friends, I think the caution of Lent, particularly a Lent where we've been kind of reflecting on the consequences of sin, is to turn our sin, or something that exists outside of ourselves that we have no control over, into an excuse for making bad decisions. I'm not saying that sin isn't real. I'm not saying sin isn't powerful. I'm not saying that in some ways we don't have a lot of control over it. I'm saying that I think Jesus would caution us from using our sin as an excuse for why we behave badly. The reason the contestants on My 600-pound Life, the reason the crowds go from shouting Hosanna on Sunday to crucify him on Friday, is because both groups are confronted with having to change, and they're scared. Change is risky, and there's no way of guaranteeing that we are going to come out on the other side of change producing the results we want. Also, change can lead to loss. The contestants aren't crazy when they fear that their spouses may leave them now that they no longer have to care for them. The crowds that greet Jesus on Friday aren't crazy to fear the yoke of Rome should the Son of God continue to challenge the powers that be. If you take nothing away from our sermon series on Lent this year, I hope you will take away what I think is encouraging, but the fact that change is hard, but the only way out of it is through it. Take Jesus, for example. Jesus took on flesh in order to fulfill the Father's will, to share the gospel with all the nations, to heal the sick, to clothe the naked, to befriend the lonely. But this change would be incomplete without the cross, because it is only the cross that takes care of our sin problem. This change would also be incomplete without the women going to the tomb on Easter morning and finding it empty. It would also be incomplete without Jesus returning to the Father. Jesus' life bears witness to the fact that the only way out of change is through it. Both of our congregations have been through a lot of change in this past year. One big change we have coming up ahead of us is our Holy Week worship schedule. I'm sure you've noticed that we've had to change our worship times on Maundy Thursday and on Easter so that I can be at two churches and travel in between them. Trust me when I say that both congregations are equally annoyed with having to change their worship times. It's one thing to change your worship time on an ordinary Sunday in March, But, and I kid you not, somebody basically asked me this: will Jesus really rise from the dead if we don't mark this occasion at 11 a.m. on Easter Sunday? Somebody else asked me, what about the folks who only come to church on Christmas and Easter? How will they know about our new worship time? Or my personal favorite, so both churches are having their Easter breakfasts at 10 a.m. on Easter Sunday, and both deacons have asked me, Pastor, who is going to bless our breakfasts if they're happening at the same time on different sides of the city? I could go on, but these were my favorite. Friends, I know that change is hard. It was hard for the crowds that greeted Jesus in Jerusalem on the first Palm Sunday. It was so hard for the crowds witnessing Jesus challenge Roman authority that they reacted by condemning an innocent man to death. So too, change is hard for us. Two small congregations who are trying to be faithful to God amidst a changing cultural landscape. But the good news of Palm Sunday, news that we won't fully see realized until we get to Easter: without change, our stories are incomplete. Jesus' story doesn't end on Palm Sunday. It must go through Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday before we can get to Easter. As Christians, we've chosen to follow Jesus, and that means following him wherever he calls us. Sometimes that's going to mean visiting new places. Sometimes that's going to mean changing our behaviors. Sometimes that's going to mean changing our worship times. This week, as I felt the weight of these changes particularly heavily, I found myself returning to the words that the crowds give to Jesus on Palm Sunday. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory to God in the highest. These words remind me that change is hard, but Jesus is and always will be Lord. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, I invite you to stand and join me for the classic Palm Sunday hymn, All Glory, Laud, and Honor. The lyrics will be on the screen.
Friends, I hope you will return this week as we journey through to the cross together. Let me say a word of blessing as we go from this place. Remember that you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God has sent you. Wherever you are, God has a purpose to you being there. Christ, who dwells in you, has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen. Amen.